have been the, or are the public records for the kings of Judah. So it would be kind of like going to the courthouse and looking up the public records or stuff like that, which is really enjoyable. So 1 Chronicles 12, and then we're going to go with Isaiah. Whatever. 1 Chronicles 12, 32. We'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this. I do pray that you'd help us to be people that understand what's happening, what's going on around us, what's going on in our nation, what's going on in the world, to be able to give answers to people who are confused or stressed out. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to have peace in the midst of this. Of course, this is just a little Sunday school picnic compared to what's coming. And of course, I'm not planning to be around for that. And Lord, I just pray you'd bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Chronicles 12 will be a list of men that were in like the, what do you call them, Navy SEALs or the Marines of the day of David. David's mighty men. These guys were real fighters. A couple of them, they'd kill 200 or 300 guys in one spot where they just keep coming and keep coming and they just keep stabbing and stabbing, and it's an amazing thing. There's one tribe, verse 32, it says that of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. That's something very unique. Understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. So one of the discernment that a believer needs to do or have, it's one of the gifts of the Spirit, it's discerning of spirits. You need to recognize or be able to see the general spirit of, you know, a church or a state or a nation of the world. And then if that spirit is walking contrary to the Bible, we need to walk exactly contrary towards that spirit. Okay, and so the spirit of our age is quite clear, okay, worldwide. This is kind of a trial run, I would dare say. And who would have thought this in January of what we've seen this past year? Who would have thought this? Now, evidently, Congress knew something, because in January 3rd is when they titled that bill the coronavirus bill. How'd they know that? Okay, but there's a spirit. And in the church, it's Laodicea. That's a general spirit, Laodicea. And so we need, if you can recognize a spirit or an attitude, okay, a lot of times a parent can discern the attitude of our child, where maybe they're doing the right action, but their attitude's raunchy. Okay, and so here, these children of Israel understood the times. Now, if you would try Isaiah 5, I'm going to run through some of Isaiah. This guy was an amazing individual. He was highly honored by God. And when you read the Old Testament, you're reading how God deals with nations. Okay, and Israel was a nation that God chose to be an example to all nations. So they were, to whom much is given, much is required. And the commonly known Ten Commandments was at first a marriage proposal between God and Israel. So it was a covenant, and they made the deal with God. And since they made the deal with God, then if they would do right, God would directly bless them. And when they would step out on God, then God would curse them. Okay, so Israel. In Ephesians, it calls Israel a commonwealth. Okay, so a commonwealth is very similar to a republic. We have four states, I think, that refers to their state as a commonwealth. Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and I'm not sure if it's Delaware or Maryland, okay, where it's a commonwealth. It's very similar to a republic. The idea of it is that wealth is common amongst the people because you have liberty to produce and then enjoy the fruits of your labor. So Israel was a commonwealth, Okay, and Israel in the Old Testament, the difference between Israel and the United States in the New Testament, okay, there are a lot of similarities, and this country is very, very unique. Now, a lot of us don't understand our, you know, history. When I say United States, actually we're talking about 50 different, well, Obama thought there was 57 because he's Muslim. Okay, there are 50 individual nations. Indiana is a nation. Illinois is a, well, I don't know what Illinois is, but okay. And so each of the colonies were individual nations united. If you look at the Declaration, it's a lowercase u, uppercase s. And that is a, you know, political thing. Now, what's unique about this country is because there were great revivals at the beginning of our country, and I know that church history is forbidden to be taught in the schools, hence they don't know about American history. And you need to research some of the original documents, which are still available. David Barton has done a great job on that. You can find that online. But there were some great revivals going on, and it was mainly, the Baptists were really going at it pretty good. The Presbyterians were pretty good, okay? And they were trying to be loyal subjects to the King, King George, the King of England, but he threw them off. And so they became a free people by him throwing them off, is what they did. There's great revivals. And the American people, the general populace, chose God. God chose Israel, but the colonists chose God. The motto of what is commonly called the Revolutionary War, the motto with the Minutemen, the militiamen, and the Baptist preachers and the Presbyterian preachers, the motto was, "No king, but King Jesus." Do people know that? It was so prevalent that King George called this a Presbyterian rebellion, because in the churches in those days, that was where the books were stored for the libraries and the guns. That was in the churches. So this is our history. Okay, at the beginning of our history. So the United States began, those 13 began where they wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to be their king. That's how we started, okay? And so, like Israel in the Old Testament, where God chose them, they became a commonwealth. Unfortunately, they went down the road of a monarchy. The United States chose Jesus Christ, and the United States became a commonwealth, or a republic, I guess you could say. Now that's what's in the crawl of the globalist in the world. This country is the holdup because of the Christian Foundation. And the reason why President Trump is usually referred to as a populist. Okay, that means a nationalist. And that is a resistance of globalism. That's the pressure that's being put on. Now, these prophets in the Old Testament, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel, Ezekiel, usually God would raise up a man when the nation would be going down. God would raise up a man like Isaiah, like Hosea, and then they would stand, they would speak publicly and warn the people. Now again, remember that Israel is 1/4 the size of Indiana. So you take the northern part of Indiana and turn it 1/4 turn, and you got Israel. So they had a great influence in a small area. Well, we're dealing with a huge nation. So he would pick these men. They were first revivalist, where they would speak against the priest and their apostasy. Secondly, they were nationalist or populist. Because under the Israeli structure, their religion and politics was interwoven. And so that's what these men were. So you'll read a lot of things like Isaiah and Jeremiah, okay, and Ezekiel, about some of these prophecies, these great prophecies. And so what we're doing, when you read the Old Testament, not only you're reading history, you're reading future prophecy, because the prophets had a short-term fulfillment and a long-term fulfillment, but you're also reading the future, because we learn from history, that men don't learn from history. The fascists of the BLM, this is nothing new. This is not new. This is not new a procedure. This has been going on for years. And this is how you overthrow a country. The fascists will do it by causing chaos. Okay, and so this is nothing new. We know what's going on. We see what's going on. You know the future when you know the past. If you don't study the past, you don't know the future. Now, in Europe, you had the Reformation around the 1500s, or Martin Luther was opposing the Catholic Church, you know, the Lion King over there in the Vatican City, and he would put the 95 Theses on the door for those feline fanatics. And then you had a great Reformation throughout Europe, and then it came down to England, where England was where the King James Bible come from. And man, souls were being saved unbelievably during this time period. And England became the seed, the United States became the tree. Where this nation is responsible for more missionaries than any nation in the world. And if this nation goes down, all the missionaries throughout the world have to come home. Because they got nothing. You see, so this nation is an amazing nation for God and for Christianity. So I want to give you a couple of thoughts. So the first thing we're going to parallel Israel with the United States. In Isaiah 5, we're going to read what's going to be in the news broadcast tomorrow. We're going to read it. What's going to happen? Nothing new. This Isaiah is a very unique individual. His name, Isaiah, means Jehovah is salvation, which is the same definition of Joshua, Hosea, Hosea, and Jesus. It's all the same name. Okay, it's an amazing thing. If you look in Deuteronomy 32, verse 44, it will say Moses and Hosea. That's another way of spelling Joshua. And so it's all the same name as far as Isaiah goes. Isaiah was greatly honored by God because it is a Bible inside the Bible. Isaiah is the largest book in the Bible that has chapters. In the Psalms, it's not Psalm chapter 1. I often hear people say that Psalm chapter 1. It's not chapter 1. Look at it. It will say Psalm 1, and then Psalm 2, singular, Psalm 3, Psalm 4. Isaiah is the largest book in the Bible that has chapters, and it's a Bible inside the Bible. 66 chapters, and lo and behold, the Bible has got 66 books and or epistles. And there's a parallel, and I've gone through that before, so I'm not going to repeat some of that. And so Isaiah prophesied, if you look in chapter 1, verse 1, he prophesied about Judah and Jerusalem. You'll see that in chapter 1, verse 1. Or verse 2. Okay, so something there. Okay, so he's prophesying about Judah and Jerusalem. And remember, there were 12 tribes. 10 of them went with Jeroboam, where the nation split. You see, Rehoboam was going to be like Abe Lincoln and have a civil war and try to keep the Union. And God told him, don't do that. And he didn't. So the 10 went, the 10 northern Israel, 2 southern, that's Judah and Jerusalem. So you've got a nation now split in two. They survived it. Okay, now Isaiah is prophesying from 740 to 700 B.C., and if you know a little bit of history, that's when, in 722, is when Assyria came in and conquered Israel, the 10 northern. And Judah heard the news. And Isaiah was warning them about it. So what we're going to read in Isaiah 5 is 3 years, if you look at the dates, 725, 3 years before God allowed Assyria. Assyria, the capital was Nineveh. That's who Jonah didn't want to preach to because he hated them people. Okay, so we're going to read what was going on in the current events 3 years before Israel was conquered. And what we're going to read is exactly what people watch on the Cockroach News Network, CNN, and MSNBC, and the Foxy Fox. That's what they're watching Bible, but they don't know it. They've kicked God out. Isaiah is a very unique individual. He served under these kings. If you read their history, Uzziah, Uzziah was a good king. He had a very was very prosperous, but often prosperity goes to a person's head, and it went to Uzziah's head, and then he went down to the Jewish temple, and he tried to become a king and a priest. And God said, oh, no, we're not doing that. And he got leprosy right on the spot, and he died a leper. Can you imagine having a king being a leper? And he had to go around saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. Then his son took over after his death. He was a good king. And then his grandson was a raunchy king. Then Hezekiah was the next king. Hezekiah, if you remember the story about Hezekiah, he was, went to the docks, and doc says, you're dead, man. You're going to be dead in 2 weeks, Hezekiah. And he started crying and begging God and begging God. And God said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. And he said, get a hold of Isaiah. So Isaiah went over and took some figs, something to do with some natural cure. So see, Jan and I are in the right thing, natural cures. So Isaiah did that, and Hezekiah got better. In that 15-year reprieve, he had a boy named Manasseh. Manasseh became the worst king in the entire kingdom. And he actually killed, historians say that he killed Isaiah. He martyred him. Historians say that they took Isaiah and put him in a hollow log and then sawed him in half. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37, it mentions somebody in the Old Testament, it says, sawn asunder. Most likely Isaiah. And so Isaiah is really a guy that was really honored by God. His wife was called a prophetess. She had two boys. The boy, they worked as a family. Can you imagine this whole husband, wife, two little boys, and they were going around prophesying against Judah. They were not real popular. And so they would go around doing this. You talk about a lone wolf. Isaiah was a lone wolf. He named his first boy Shear-Jashub, which means a remnant. He named his boy as a warning, a remnant shall return. In other words, you're going to get wiped out. And then his second boy, how would you like to have this name? Mahershalhashbaz. The longest name in the Bible. I hope he had a nickname, Mal or something like that. Mahershalhashbaz. You should have been here by the time I got done with your name. Okay, and so his name means haste to the spoils. And that actually meant they're going to get conquered. And Israel did get conquered. So his came true. So quite a thing. Isaiah provided the natural cure for Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, when God said you get 15 more years, Hezekiah said, prove it. Okay, what do you want me to do, Hezekiah? He said, if you made the sundial go forward 10 degrees, that's not a big deal. How about if you make it go backward 10 degrees? Okay, you see now, what God had at that time in Joshua chapter 10, Joshua was in a big fight in Joshua 10, and he said, sun, stand still. And it says it stood still for about a day. There was like 40 minutes left over there, and God wanted to get the clock back to the 24-hour thing. And so the 10 degrees is about 40 minutes. Now think about that. This is a little rabbit chaser here. Did the earth... and then... 1,000 mile an hour at the equator. What would have happened? Even Peel deGrasse Tyson says that if the earth stopped spinning, it would kill everybody. So did the sun stop to promote geocentricity, or did the earth stop? Now, you have to decide for yourself what you want to choose. Logically, you just figure it out. Okay, so can you imagine the entire world what the newspaper said the next day? Something happened to the sun. Just because one guy in Israel wanted God to prove it that I wasn't going to die. The world revolves around Israel. Still today. That proves the Bible. I mean, that right there is proof the Bible is the Word of God. Now, Isaiah was honored by the Lord because he was used to be the first of a few things. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, he prophesies of John the Baptist. So that's the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist. And then Jesus Christ, the very first public message he preached, came from Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. And Jesus Christ gives the most important method of interpretation in the New Testament from Isaiah 61, verse 2, of learning how to rightly divide the word of truth. Boy, that's quite an honor that Isaiah received. Not only that, in the book of Acts, when the men actually began to understand that salvation is by grace through faith, there's this Ethiopian eunuch. He was sitting in his chariot. It had curb finders, it had wide white wheels and everything, and he had leather seats in there. And he was sitting there reading Isaiah chapter 53. And the Spirit told Philip, go join yourself to that stair. He ran over that chariot and he could hear that guy. Man, I can't figure this thing out here. What's going on here? And then Philip came up. He said, you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I except some man guide me? And he jumped in that chariot and he showed that man how to get saved. First one. From Isaiah 53, the greatest chapter in the Bible on the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, along with Psalms 22. Isaiah, wow, was that guy honored. But then he died the way he died. And that's part of God honoring him, amazingly. Now, in chapter 5, if you run down through there and kind of take note of the paragraph marks on occasion, you'll notice in verse 8, woe. And that's not talking about the horse stop. And we're going to find six of them in there. So what Isaiah is doing with these woes, a woe means a judgment. So when we read down through these, we're going to see that this is exactly what you and I are seeing in our culture. And here we can get some understanding of our times. We can understand what's going on. It's interesting that both Isaiah, I'm sorry, Israel and Judah. And this is, you know, I mention a lot of times about looking at the Bible from God's perspective. Okay, most people, including the fundamentalists, only look at the Bible what I get out of it. Instruction. Why don't we look at this Bible from God's perspective when we look at the doctrine? When you look at the doctrine, the nation that conquered Israel was a nation called Assyria. And that is a type of the Antichrist. Sennacherib was one of the names of the commanders of Assyria. Sennacherib. Cherub. Type of the Antichrist. The Bible does this all the time. The Antichrist is the second most popular character in the Bible. First time the word is announced is in 1 John chapter 2. And the nation that conquered Judah, the nation that conquered Judah was Nebuchadnezzar, sometimes called Nebuchadrezzar with an R. He is another type of an Antichrist. Babylon is a type, Babylon with Babylon in Revelation 17. So when you read these men, you're reading about maybe some of them are men, but some of them may not be. Because he called Pharaoh a red dragon in Ezekiel 29. But yet, if you talk to the average Egyptian, Pharaoh, they would thought he was just a man like anybody else. It's a little bit strange when you get into this spiritual thing. Now, if you're in chapter 5, hold your finger there. I want to show you 44. Isaiah 44. Isaiah, he wasn't like Nostradamus or Gene Edgar Casey, where they gave generic prophecies. Stuff like, I think the sun's going to rise this morning. You know, stuff like that. Pretty generic stuff. Isaiah would name them. Isaiah 44, verse 28. This guy wasn't even in existence yet. Cyrus. Historians call him Cyrus the Great. He predicted this about 714 B.C. And Cyrus the Great did not rule over Media Persia until about 550 B.C. This guy wasn't even alive yet. And he named him. How in the world did he influence the mother of Cyrus, the name that kid Cyrus, and then how in the world did she arrange it that he became a king? Only God can set those circumstances up. You'll see him at the end of chapter 44, verse 28. You'll see him again in chapter 1 of verse 45, of chapter 45. He was God's servant. Cyrus the Great, very unique individual, he allowed and ordered the Jewish people to go back and build their temple. There's one other man in history that's done that. One in the Old Testament, Cyrus the Great. One in the New Testament, Lord Balfour of England. I remember doing a book report on Lord Balfour in fourth grade. Who remembers anything in fourth grade? Lord Balfour. Why did I do a book report on that? I don't know. Lord Balfour, 1917, proclaimed that Israel should get their own land called Palestine, and then England reneged on that, and then he finally got their land in 1948. Two times in history, this is done. And do you know that Israel, some priests in Israel, have petitioned Netanyahu that they could blow the shofar on the Temple Mount this Saturday? Oh, we can pray that they get to blow that shofar in the Temple Mount. The last time they could do that is back in 69 A.D., right before they destroyed the temple in 70 A.D. Boy, things are looking pretty up and up. When you get looking at this stuff in the Bible. Okay, now if you would, go back to chapter 5, verse 8. The Jewish, some Jewish priests that they believe that they've got the red heifer. They believe they got the Levites ready to go. They just want to kind of get the program going here, and I kind of want them to get the program going too. And so, man, that's a good thing. So in Isaiah 5, verse 8, how many people know this is verse in the Bible? Woe unto them that lay house to house. That doesn't sound real good, does it? Sounds like an inner city to me. You know the first person in the Bible to build a city was Cain? Boy, I'm so glad I wasn't raised in a city. I am so glad I was raised on a farm. You see, now this is not saying it's a sin to live in a town or a suburb, because this is saying that you lay house to house where there's no place for you to be alone. Building on building on building on building on building. One of them lay house. You see, that's where the trouble's coming from. If it wasn't for the Electoral College, them city folk would outrun us country folk. One for that. Okay, so Isaiah 5, verse 8. What's going to happen in these inner cities here? Warn of them that join house to house and lay field to field till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate. Oh yeah, they burned down their cities too. You know, the BLM, Black Lives Matter, they don't hide this stuff. They're fascist. I mean, and when you get to the back of the Bible, guess what? When you get to the back of the Bible, you're going to read some warnings about this. 1 Peter 4, verse 4, riot in the daytime. And if you don't riot with them, they think it not strange. And they'll come after the ones who are passive toward the rioting. And they'll attack them. 1 Peter 4, verse 4. And then they claim that they want liberty, but it says they promise liberty, but they are servants of corruption. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. It's an amazing thing. History just goes on. This Bible, and they bite the hand that feeds them. Who's feeding the city? It's the country. It's the farmers that's feeding the city. And what are they going to do? They're going to try to bite the hand that feeds them. They're going to bite and devour. That's what's going on. It's the people in the city that are trying to overrun the liberties of the people in the country. Well, you can go and go to the casinos, but you can't in California. They can't go to church. Kind of weird. You know how that is? The riots in the city. Isaiah warned about Isaiah 5, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow drink, that they continue until night, till wine inflame them. Okay, now there's the first drunk. Now go down to verse 22 and you see a second drunk. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which, okay, this is the political world, which justify the wicked for reward, bribes, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Can't go to church. Pelosi. If that's not a sot drunk, I don't know what is. I mean, the brewery companies send booze to Congress and the Senate every Christmas. They are loaded down with booze. And the second drunk is because their conscience is working on because of all the hypocrisy. You ever notice that? Talk radio is almost always a conservative. Why? Because they have endless fodder of hypocrisy on the side of the left. Endless fodder. Hypocrisy reigns. This virus is so smart, it only gets you from the door to the table, and you get the table with your food, it stays away. I've never seen a virus that smart. Down in Costa Rica, it takes holidays. Where they can buy food for 10 days, and then they can buy clothes and food for the next 10 days, then they can buy food for 10 days. I mean, the thing takes a holiday. It's just amazing how that works. Okay? I mean, anybody who sees what's going on, the hypocrisy around us is just phenomenal. On the side of the left, hypocrisy is endless. On the right, yeah, they're hypocrites. I understand that they're hypocrites. But it's not an endless parade like it is on the left. It's an amazing thing. These drunken fools, the reason why a lot of them are drunk because their conscience is killing them, and they got to drown that conscience out. They're on booze or they're on drugs. That's why in the back of the Bible we'll say over and over, be sober, be sober, be sober, be sober. It's because America's a drunken society. You see? And so here we got the drunken fools here. Okay, and they are ignorant of God. Look in chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. No knowledge of what, though? Okay, if you go to the cross reference, he was a contemporary. This guy was preaching up in Israel, Hosea chapter 4. Now, a lot of times I've read Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And almost always I read only the first half of the verse, and they rarely give the second half. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How many of you ever seen that before? My people are destroyed lack of knowledge. You ever see them give the second half? Usually they give the first half, and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Then you kind of feel sorry for the people. Oh, they didn't know better. The second half shows they know better. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. You see, unfortunately, that's what's going on in the Christian colleges in America. Is they're rejecting God's knowledge. They don't know about God. The politicians and the media are the instigators of the violence. And they know why they're doing this. Chapter 5, verse 18, here's the next woe. There are six of them here. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope. Okay, the idea of that is they are bound in their sin. They cry about the slavery of the 1800s, but they're slaves to their drugs, they're slaves to their booze, they're slaves to their violence, and they show you by all the earrings. I'm absolute slaves. They promise liberty. They scream about social injustice, but they are unjust themselves. They cry for liberty, but they are slaves. They protest the murder of blacks by the police, but blacks are killing blacks more than anybody in this country. They're not going to say a word about all the blacks that got killed last week in Chicago. Where's Black Lives Matter there? Where's Black Lives Matter at the abortion clinic? They don't go there because they're hypocrites. They're slaves to their sin. Chapter 5, verse 20, they call good evil and evil good. You can say a most vulgar name to somebody, call them an MF, and nobody will bat an eye. If you call them the N-word, you lose your job. I think that MF is a lot worse. Drastic thing. They call good evil and evil good. They call it pro-choice. Pro-choice. I'm pro-choice. I want to choose not to wear a mask. Don't I have a right to choose what to do with my body? If she's got a right to choose, pro-choice, we just choose life. It should be pro-life, pro-death. You see, the Republicans are kind of silent about it, but the Democrats promote abortion. And if you start taking away that, they will scream. Do people? Years ago, when Rush Limbaugh first started, has anybody ever heard him give a caller abortion? Anybody remember him doing that? I must be one of the oldest Rush Limbaugh listeners. Caller abortion? That was classic. How do you abort a phone call? And he would take about 5 to 10 minutes to explain it, and it is quite an analogy. And he lost some stations because of it. And he was just portraying a phone call of what's going on in a doctor's office. Partial birth abortion. There's a preacher out in York, Pennsylvania, that they had a Halloween parade in his town in York, Pennsylvania. So he thought, hey, if they want blood and guts, I'll give them pictures of abortions. So he made a float with dowels and their pieces cut off and on their float, and they had pictures of abortions, of what actually took place in abortion. And man, did they get upset. Well, I thought they wanted blood and guts. They sued him. He won in court. They had to let him in the next year. And before they let him in the next year, they had a big parade, and then they had a big gap between him and the rest of the participants in the parade, and the mayor is walking in front of him, telling everybody, here he's coming. And all he did was show pictures. Partial birth abortion. Have you ever studied how that takes place? A baby at full term is born full term, feet first. The head has stayed in a birth canal. They take an instrument and jam it in the back of the soft spot and suck out the middle of that baby. 300 to 500 of those occur every year. And we want God to bless our nation? That's what the Democrats are pushing. That's what Obama pushed. It is still in effect today. And that's what's... I can't imagine a born-again, blood-washed Christian voting on that side. I can't imagine it. Democrats promote the death of the unborn, and they promote this transgender. Absolute confusion. I was in a plumbing store down there in Rensselaer, and I was getting some, two inch and a half PVC. And I said to the guy, Joe, I said, do you have transgender PVC, or do you got male outlets or female outlets? He looked at me. Never thought of that. Well, what kind of outlets do you have here? Wouldn't that make plumbing confusing? Get that male outlet. What do you identify? Oh, that's transgender outlet. Can you imagine an electrician? Some of you electricians, take that male. How the hell does that work? It's just nonsense. It's just absolute nonsense. They claim that they worship science, but they're not scientists. They don't believe science. Climate change is a big hoax. It's just nonsense. And you know, the blood is on the hands of these supporters of the leftist agenda. Have you listened to the Democrats say the Pledge of Allegiance lately? They don't want to maintain, they don't want God in their knowledge. Romans 1:28. One nation, indivisible. They kick God out. That's what they've done. You know, that's what Creepy Joe's done. And he is a creep. And the people in the know in D.C. knows he's a creep. And it's just sad what's happening. It's sad. It's heartbreaking what's happened in our country. Chapter 5, verse 22. Verse 21. Here's the, really, the, I mean, it gets worse. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Romans talks about a reprobate where God gives up on them. These are full-fledged narcissists. I mean, a cockroach, when you turn the light on, they scatter. The news media doesn't even blush. When they're caught in a lie, they're right in their own eye. They're full-fledged narcissists. They are reprobates. There's no sound reason that you can talk to a narcissist. You know, this is a world that Jen and I, we got introduced to about 12 years ago, and it's just like, man, I never saw this before. And now I'm seeing it everywhere. How do you deal with a narcissist? You don't. You walk away. God gave up on them. Romans 1:26, Romans 1:28. There's no sound reason can even work on them. Their final end, Isaiah 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go out as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Where does that happen? Most Christian colleges. Sad. Sad. You know, people, if anybody knows about Liberty University in Johnny Falwell, oh, can you believe what? Yeah, it don't surprise me. Don't surprise me. They've been apostate for years. I mean, it's just disgusting. And that's where the destruction comes to our country. You know, we can point our finger, Christians, Bible believers can point their fingers to the world. That's easy to do. But I tell you who God's looking at on this country is the Christians. That's who he's looking at. And when they have dumped his book like they have dumped throughout the Christian colleges, I know what it feels like. Man, I was in a school where they promoted the new Bibles, and I got to the point where, well, which one's the Word of God? When do I memorize? I know how it feels. And so the thing is, that's what God's looking at. Proverbs 13:13 says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. This blessed book, you know, the book that our founding fathers published to be the Bible for America was the King James Bible. Robert Atkin published it. It was a King James Bible. There was no copyright on it. They could not do the Geneva. Didn't want to do the Geneva. King James Bible, no copyright. And our country had it published, I think, as a nation, it would have been 1792. And that's why God has blessed America. Because of the honor of this book. And when these people are dumping this book, God is going to dump them. But evidently, and this is the goal of this message, evidently there are some still praying. There are some Bible believers still occupying. And I want to keep up that. We're still occupying because, hey, some got children, you got grandchildren. If the Lord tarries, we want to give something to them. And so we stay true to this book. We occupy until we hear that trump. And I certainly hope that he's already warmed up. And if they blow that shofar this Saturday, that might be a pretty good thing. I mean, that's going to be a wonderful thing. Maybe I'll blow mine down at Rinseltuck. Mine sounds like a sick cow. But praise the Lord. The way things are, it's an amazing day to be living. You got extreme bad, extreme good. And they've got their rider on their white horse is about ready to come back. And I'm looking forward to that day. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be like the children of Issachar, where we understand the times. And when we understand some of these things, then when people who are confused, who are in turmoil, that we could offer them hope. Because the blessed hope is coming. It's sad to see the Christian principles of this nation to be mistreated the way they are. But they did this to your temple in the Old Testament. And Lord, I pray you'd help us look forward to that day and help us to Pray that God, you God, would have mercy. That you would have mercy. We don't demand a blessing. We don't deserve it. But we would pray that you'd have mercy. And that we would occupy till you come. Lord, we'd love to see you come back. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Okay.